Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Stephen Kuhl is here, too. Stephen's a member of our Brain Trust and one of the newer members, but a longtime friend of mine. He's responsible for the financial institutions and strategic partnerships with the Western Union Business Solutions organization, and he and I have known each other for a long time. He spent many years working in the capital markets and foreign exchange and helping financial institutions, large and small, put their best foot forward with customers. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim. Good morning, and I appreciate the warm introduction.
It's good to have you back. So, Stephen, I was talking to, as you know, I'm very much a champion of community banks and credit unions, because they're the people out there who are still practicing relationship banking with small businesses, which we sorely need. But I was having a discussion last week in Florida with the president of a very large, quite a large community bank system down there. He's got 20 or 30 banks across the state, and now getting into Georgia and Alabama a little bit. And we were just talking about the fact that a dozen years ago, 10 years ago, there were 16,000, 17,000 community banks. Now there may be about 6,000. And, yeah, and that the last decade has really been rough on the community bank community, the whole sector. What do you think?
Yeah, I concur in full, Jim. I mean, a phenomenon you just described, and you cited that 16,000 to 17,000 vicinity. That's correct. And if we look right now, if we add up all the community banks and credit unions around the country, we're down to about 10,000, approximately equal number, about 5,000 community banks, 5,000 credit unions. But nonetheless, there's been radical consolidation. And almost as a rule of thumb, Jim, believe it or not, you can use about 1.5 community banks and credit unions will in some way, shape, or form either go by the wayside or get acquired. Mm-hmm. You know, become defunct, et cetera, each day. So if we look at you and I gathering next year, chances are we're going to be about 500 less than the current 10,000 total. That's how rapidly the shrinkage is happening.
And there are a number of reasons for that. For one thing, some of those community banks should never have been formed. We know that. Some of them took risks they shouldn't have taken. But for the most part, I think it was besides the economy being tough for all those years, I think it was also the way the government treated small banks like they were, you know, the big banks, and I think they've now learned that lesson. That's been fixed, but a lot of problems were created in the process. But now let's get over to the side that really is important to Main Street, and that's the fact that community banks are essential part of the small business sector. Community banks and now credit unions. And I say now credit unions because, as you know, 30 years ago, typically a credit union wasn't as involved in the business lending as they are now. And so that whole sector, those two groups, are really critical to the support of small businesses. And so I'm worried about one because I'm worried about the other two, the banks and now small businesses. What do you think?
Well, I think, Jim, you have a right to worry, and I think it's validated. And I share your concerns. And there's an intertwined kind of destiny, as you're describing, between small business and community banking. And if we look at what's transpired, we cited, you know, that consolidation, indeed that radical consolidation. But if you go back in time somewhere like 10 years ago, and I can't believe it's happening this fast, but indeed, if you look at the statistics and you look at small businesses around the country, you know, specifically what you find is that 10 years ago, their primary business relationship from a banking perspective was with a community financial institution, mm-hmm. Principally community bank. But now, boy, that ratio has inverted. It's only 1 in 4 three out of four now are turning to bigger banks as their primary. So we're really at one of those kind of, I think, existential crossroads.
And yeah. I'll tell you, Steve, that's I think I have to question that kind of decision unless it's something that they had no choice in, because I remember after the last collapse, the 08 collapse, you couldn't hold a gun to a bank and make them make a small business loan. They by definition, because of their capital situation, they made zero small business loans for a couple of years or maybe more. They closed up banks in counties where they needed more bank coverage, not less. And so I just think that's a dangerous scenario, and I'd like to encourage small business owners not to do that. If you don't have to, stay. That's where the one brung you. Stay with the community banks. Stay with the credit unions, because they're going to be they're the ones that are going to be there. There's another thing we have to talk about, Steve, and that's a big thing about what's going on in your part of the world, and that's the farmers, the ranchers and the farmers, especially in the Midwest where all the flooding's going on. That whole scenario is taking a toll on those farmers, and therefore will take a toll on those banks, won't they?
Without a doubt. And I think, Jim, what's happening, and folks probably don't appreciate the enduring impact this is going to have. Obviously, there was profound flooding, and I'm here in Nebraska, Omaha specifically, but I get around the state a fair amount. And the breadth of the impact, especially in these off the beaten path rural communities, whether it's the impact with respect to what's happened out, in the rural farming communities.
Right.
We talked about, boy, that Missouri River Basin, and of course the Missouri River is the largest river here in North America, but all the interconnected tributaries, et cetera, it just has been profound. And it's going to take years and years. And I think whether it's commodity prices, Jim, food, et cetera, mm-hmm. we're going to be seeing this pretty pronounced lag effect start kicking in. And then thus, as it gets down to the consumer, that awareness of what's happening in terms of the impact of their purchasing power on purchasing groceries, et cetera, is going to be felt. For sure.
Yeah, I think we're going to be seeing the impact of this in our grocery stores very soon, because that and folks, we have to think about the impact of this kind of weather conditions on our fellow small business owners, the farmers and the merchants that are in that part of the world, and of course the bankers who support them. When we come back, we're going to talk about broadening the horizons of financial institutions, small financial institutions, and their customers to international, doing international business. And how do they pull all that off? Stephen Kuhl will help us with that. He's with Western Union. I'm Jim Blassingate. I'm with you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.